Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking politics with David DeMoor. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at UNLV. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program David DeMoor. He is Associate Professor of Political Science at UNLV. Pleasure to have you back, sir.
Thanks for having me.
So we're recording this the day before the big election in Alabama. What does the whole Roy Moore situation say to you about the state of politics in the great nation?
I think there's a couple of things going on here. I think, you know, first you're seeing the role of the base and the challenges you're seeing from the sort of party rank and file of the party establishment. That's certainly been more prevalent on the Republican side, but you're starting to see that on the Democratic side as well. So you see that dynamic in place. And then the other part of it is just this sort of willingness to sort of look the other way if it helps your party. So you sort of see the heightened hypocrisy on both sides on these types of issues here. And I just think it really sort of frustrates the voters in the end, probably turns more people off than engages them in the process.
Do you think that, you know, because this is a special election, which is probably the weakest kind of election, do you think there's going to be a higher, lower, or just normal turnout for this race?
Yeah, usually they're lower, but there's obviously exceptions to that because this has been nationalized quite a bit. So you do see from time to time these special elections when they get the national attention, and so I'm thinking like the California recall of the governor back in the last decade, and even the specials in Wisconsin had higher turnout because they got so much attention, whereas this is just some sort of smaller race, a legislative race, for example, then you would expect there to be low turnout. But with it being statewide and lots of national attention to it, you figure there's going to be money flooding in these last couple of days to try to get voters to the polls there. So it probably won't be what you would see, obviously, in a presidential election, but I think it would be better than what you obviously see in most specials.
Do you think that the sexual allegations and sexual harassment claims are going to continue on in the political world, whether they've occurred or not, just because that's the nature of politics being the mean, ugly business that it is?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're sort of hitting the tip of the iceberg on this kind of stuff, as it's sort of hitting the entertainment industry, obviously the political industry and government as well. But I think that there's just sort of seeing a major shift in public opinion on this issue. So I don't think, you know, whatever happens in Alabama is going to settle that question one or the other. I expect this to be something going forward. I think there'll be a lot of pressure, at least outside pressure from interest groups to investigate the president as well. I think you're already sort of seeing that sort of ramp up as well. So I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon.
And let's add the food industry into this now, because Mario Batali is stepping away from his corporation because of allegations that he admits were accurate.
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, someone who's, you know, very, very successful and well-known in the media. Yeah, so I figure you'll see more and more of this over the coming months.
Did Al Franken take a fall to be able to aid the party in going after the president?
You figure that's the strategy in the Democrats wanting to sort of get out in front of this and show, you know, that they have the higher ethics on this issue here. But I think I'll be deprived of the process here, of the due process of let's investigate, let's see what's going on here. But I think there's a lot of enough pressure within the Democratic caucus that his position became untenable, and I don't really see any out for him. Meanwhile, you know, if you're in Minnesota, you're out of senator until one gets elected. You're going to have a special election, and that's just going to sort of add more fuel to the partisan fire.
And he could have stayed and gone through an ethics investigation, which we saw with Senator Ensign and his problems a few years ago, that it was a long time before he was eventually forced to resign.
Absolutely. And I think, the Democrats want to put this behind them in moving into the 2018 election, trying to shape their narrative of what this election is going to be about. So in the sense that they can get this behind them, it provides them with that strategic advantage as well there. But your point is well taken that, sometimes when these things do get invested, they do slow down. And ultimately what we end up seeing a lot of times is when members of Congress get in hot water, that is actually just they do what Ensign did, that is they resign or they simply don't run for reelection. And that's how the process works, as opposed to these sort of allegations, media storm, resignation that we're seeing right now.
Were you surprised at Nikki Haley's comments on Face the Nation yesterday, where she talked about, complaints against the president should be investigated? I mean, that's her boss.
It was a little surprising, yeah, because, the line out of the White House and among Trump supporters has been, no, didn't happen, made up. Now she's sort of breaking with that here. Question is, how long does she last on this? Or maybe she was being shown out the door already, and this is sort of a way to sort of get some leverage of the situation. We don't really know, but it was certainly a break in the normal talking points you've heard from the White House.
She said that in that same interview that she wasn't interested in the Secretary of State's position because she thought she could be more effective at the United Nations. You're kind of suggesting that she may not be it either.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen what's happened with Tillerson as well. I mean, the sort of general role of the Department of State and the Trump administration, I don't think it's quite the plum assignment it used to be.
And isn't that a little scary?
It is. It certainly is what you kind of expect to some level early on in when someone wants to shake things up. But eventually you'd expect people, no, this is necessary. This is why this exists here. But we haven't really seen that so far in the Trump administration sort of checking itself as it gets a little, into its first year here. And some of the sort of rhetoric and some of the initial impulses you'd expect to be checked over time, but we haven't really seen that so far.
And Rex Tillerson was recommended by people like Bob Gates and James Baker. I mean, people who certainly understand international diplomacy.
Yeah, and you haven't heard them speak up much about him since then. And Condoleezza Rice, you can put in that group as well here. So, yeah, career diplomats who have lots and lots of experience in the world there, counting on his sort of role as an oil executive and negotiating on behalf of Exxon here, but that certainly has not translated over into his service as Secretary of State.
Ruben Kiwan has chosen to go the internal ethics route. Can he survive this? Isn't this a situation where the money just gets cut off and you're done?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, really tough for him to sort of survive, being able to sort of weather this storm. But when we get to March and candidate filing comes along, it would be really, really surprising to see his name in the 2018. Of course, that means the Democrats now have to scramble for a candidate, and probably the Republicans are taking a much closer look at that race, whereas thinking of it's a down year for the GOP, they might have just been playing defense instead of trying to win some seats here. But, that's a strange district, right? It's heavily Democratic, but the Republicans always overperform in that district.
Stavros Anthony had already said that he was in for that race, but now Crescent Hardy says he's thinking about coming back in too. What are your thoughts on that?
That would be sort of the worst scenario for the Republicans is to have a competitive primary in that district and end up sort of slicing themselves up. Going through all their resources, forcing their candidates to go maybe a little farther than the right that they would want to in a district that does lean Democratic and it's heavily minority as well. So, we'll see what happens on that one, but it would probably be in the Republicans' best interest to get behind a single candidate in that race.
Do you see Lucy Flores maybe moving back to Nevada?
I don't think so. I mean, at least based upon her social media posts, I think she's kind of maybe had it with Nevada politics for a while. You know, and they already have, and that candidate has emerged in that race, who is a Sanders in that Sanders crowd as well. So I think that the sort of that wing of the party has their candidate in that race. I think it'll be more what the incumbent, or excuse me, what establishment Democrat emerges there if he ultimately does not run.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dave DeMore when we come back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dave DeMore. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at UNLV. So let's take a look at the governor's race. From some of his public pronouncements, it seems as though Governor Sandoval is not much of a fan at this point of Adam Laxalt.
Yeah, they've had a frosty relationship since after the 14 election here. Obviously Sandoval positions himself as a much more moderate Republican, whereas Laxalt is certainly much more conservative there. So I think you have that tension there. I think obviously Sandoval is very, very concerned about his legacy, his view, and I think in a lot of Adam's view, he was a transformational governor, largely doing things that needed to be done, but putting his political capital behind it, particularly obviously raising the taxes to fund his education initiatives. That's something we typically don't associate with the Republicans here. So I think there's a lot of concern on for him is what happens when he leaves the stage here. If you end up with a more conservative Republican who's made noise about gutting some of the taxes to pay for education without really talking about what the consequences would be there. And there's a lot of concern for that. And I think obviously the other part of it is you've obviously under Sandoval had a much more moderate tone on social issues, be it abortion, immigration. And I think with Laxalt, it's going to be much more hard right on those types of issues.
Does Dan Schwartz really play into this equation at all?
In the sense as if the baggage on Laxalt piles up and he can take advantage of that. But I think it's really, really tough for him. I think, the expectation is Laxalt's going to have lots and lots of resources here. Going to have the name recognition over Schwartz here. There is an opening for him, but I think it's really, really tough to do. And the other thing is he doesn't have a lot of supporters among Republicans. He sort of alienated himself among Republicans and is up in the legislature, as well as obviously in the Sandoval administration there. So it's unclear sort of who his allies are. He certainly wears that as sort of a badge of honor. But at the end of the day, in politics, you do need friends and allies who are going to vouch for you, and I just don't see him having that coalition.
Do you see between Sandoval and Laxalt that you have the regular gaming establishment that was backing Sandoval all the way and then the obvious support of Sheldon Adelson for Adam Laxalt coming into play here?
I would expect to see gaming will be given to both sides, except with the exception probably Wynn and Adelson. So if it's Sisolak who emerges on the Democratic side, I imagine it's going to end up being a very expensive race for gaming. As Ralston always jokes, right, we like to anoint our governors here, so it's a little less expensive for the donors. but if you end up having, two competitive or primaries on both sides, as well as ultimately a competitive gubernatorial race, it's been quite a while since we saw one of those in Nevada, and that obviously makes it much, much more expensive for the people who fund elections.
And I have to say congratulations to John Ralston and the Nevada Independent for actually getting the governor to sit down for an interview of length.
No easy task, right?
No easy task. And so I do say congratulations on that. And we learned from that interview that the governor is thinking of going to teach at Boyd As I mentioned, not happy with Adam Laxalt over his opposition to the commerce tax. I'm not sure we learned a whole lot else from that interview.
No, I mean, those, I think, were the big, and I think you did see, you know, the governor's sort of willingness to realize, hey, I'm bucking against the trend of my party. It probably means I don't have a political future in elective office, maybe outside of Nevada, sort of on the national stage. I think he realizes that. But I mean, one of the things we've always known about the governor, he's very, very Nevada-centric and very, very interested in moving the state forward. So his willingness to sort of go against the trend, I think, is significant. But I think it also gets away from the point of how different running for office is and talking to the media is in the actual task of governing. And having to make those compromises, having to make those tough decisions, that's something that you only really understand until you've been in the office.
And Governor Gwynn really wasn't a politician. He was, you know, somebody who supported education, a successful businessman. He was a Republican because he was a Republican, but, I mean, he certainly didn't govern that way.
And that's very much, you know, I think, Sandoval's model. He's spoken about Kenny Gwynn very much so. And you're absolutely right. Someone who had not sort of worked their way up, or being overly ambitious and trying to move from office to office relatively quickly. Again, he was someone where the business community was comfortable with him. He had a diverse background, which I think was very helpful, and not only in terms of his networking, but also in terms of his life experiences outside of politics and business. He was actually the president of UNLV for a while. So lots and lots of different life experiences before he got into the governor's office. So I think that was very, very helpful for him.
All right, let's take a break. More with Dave DeMoor. We'll look at the other side of the governor's race when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dave DeMoor. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at UNLV. So on the Democratic side for governor so far announced, Christian Kiliani and Steve Sisolak, two very different Democrats. Run them down for us, would you?
Well, certainly you have June Kiliani, who's much more liberal. Has a lot of strong backing from sort of the activist base, has experience in the state legislature before coming back and serving on the Clark County Commission here. Sisolak is seen as much more conservative, more sort of moderate, business-friendly Democrat. Been on the commission for a while for that. Before that, he was a regent, but did not ever serve in the legislature or anything like that. Been no surprise that Sisolak's running for governor. He's been raising lots and lots of money, I think $3 million in the bank here. And that'll be the tough task for June Kiliani, can she get the resources to be able to compete between now and in June. Obviously, I think, you know, for long-time Nevada politics observers, the race that comes to mind is the 06 governor's primary on the Democratic side between Titus and Jim Gibson.
That was
establishment Democrat. Everybody expected that person to win. And Titus ends up upsetting him largely by mobilizing the grassroots. I think that's sort of the strategy you'll see June Giuliani take on in the coming months.
I got to tell you, we hosted a debate between those two back in the day. And, you know, Jim Gibson is a very down-to-earth, aw-shucks kind of guy. And that was the demeanor he had coming into the debate. And Dina Titus just cut him to ribbons. It was brutal.
Yeah. And, you know, she had nothing to lose, right? She, he's going to be playing cautious, thinking he's got this thing wrapped up, and she's got nothing to lose. And, you know, Dina's very, very sharp and not willing to sort of hold her tongue when she feels that she's in the right.
Senator Reid appears to still be playing a major role in both Nevada and national politics. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously the influence is not what it was when he was in office. But I think he's been no secret. He's had a hand in sort of vetting the candidates who are going to be on the ballot in 18 here. Obviously, he still has lots of connections to fundraising networks that are going to be important for the Democrats. And we knew when he left the stage, obviously, it would be difficult for the state, you know, losing such a senator of that clout. But the other side of that argument is what that meant for the organization that he built, right? And in who was going to sort of take the reins on that. And it doesn't look like he's willing to sort of completely hand that over at this point.
Do you think that the Democrats are going to be able to come out and force sort of the anti-Trump group in 2018? Because this isn't off your election, despite the fact that we have a Senate race and a governor's race. Mm-hmm. It's not the presidential year.
Yeah, if you look at the last two midterms here, they have not been good for Democrats in terms of voter turnout. In 2010, obviously, Reid ends up winning the election over Engel in that. And then, obviously, Sandoval defeats Rory Reid, the governor's race. We have a split outcome there. 14 was just a disaster for the Democrats there. So there's a lot, I think, on the line for the Democrats in 18. Can they sort of that coalition that has been so successful in the presidential election years, can they bring that out in a midterm election year? And I do think you're going to have, you know, a lot more attention in the state because of, you're absolutely right, because of a competitive gubernatorial race. You're going to have a competitive U.S. Senate race. If we're going to have an open seat in the 3rd and 4th House districts down here, you're going to have a lot of resources in the state that weren't necessarily here in 14 and to a lesser extent in 10. So that does bode well for the Democrats in that one. But the same day, you've got to engage those voters and get them to the polls and realize that there's more to politics than just voting in the presidential election. So my expectations, it won't be as bad as 14. It's obviously not going to be what we're going to see in 16. So I think you'll probably see something in the 700,000 to 800,000 person voter turnout in the 18 election.
Last question. We got about 30 seconds here. You know, the Hispanic vote had seemed to be going towards the Democrats over the last few years, even though their traditional base would have been the Republican Party. Where do you think they're going to end up this time because of the economy?
Yeah, they'll be on the Democratic side. I mean, the Republicans have really, really hurt themselves on the with the immigration issue and, you know, in with Trump and his sort of rhetoric here. And if you figure if the Republicans are able to qualify the sanctuary city ballot measure, that could be a sort of a backlash, right? That could end up mobilizing more Latinos than might otherwise have voted in the midterm election.
And that's where we have to leave it. Dave DeMore, always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Take Nevada Newsmakers with you wherever you go by downloading podcasts of the show. It's available on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll see you on the next broadcast.